Okay, now, very briefly about William Pierce, the author of the Turner Diaries. Remember the connections between Lockheed to not only Richard Butler, but Thane Eugene Caesar, the connections of Lockheed to James Golden, on leave to serve as Nixon's security chief in 68. And we're going to tell you about the background here of William Luther Pierce, the author of the Turner Diaries. Following articles from the Sunday Oregonian for December 30th, 1984, research credit to Mae Brussel. It's by John Snell of the Oregonian staff. Headline, former OSU, that's Oregon State University, professor's novel considered Bible for neo-Nazi terrorists. A group of neo-Nazi terrorists accused of committing a series of violent crimes throughout the West, ostensibly to preserve the purity of the white race, has used as its blueprint a novel written by a former professor at Oregon State University. The professor, William Luther Pierce, quit the university in 1965 and became a right-hand man for the founder of the American Nazi Party, George Lincoln Rockwell, interrupting, recall, his connections to the Kennedy assassination. Resuming, today he is the leader of an East Coast neo-Nazi group, the National Alliance. Pierce's book, The Turner Diaries, has been described by the FBI as a Bible of hatred that details an armed takeover of the United States, including mass executions of blacks, Jews, as well as women who have defiled their race by taking black lovers. In the novel, protagonist Earl Turner and his followers in the organization, unquote, use bank robberies, armored car heists, and counterfeiting, among other methods, to foot the bill for the organization's successful effort to take over the country and install a racially pure white society. An FBI informant who infiltrated the White American Bastion, the neo-Nazi organization involved in the shootout with FBI agents on Whidbey Island, Washington, earlier this month, said the Turner Diaries was the Bible for the group. And later on in the article of Pierce's background, it says, Pierce quit his job as an assistant professor of physics at Oregon State University in 1965 and later became editor of National Socialist World, a new magazine published by the American Nazi Party and written to appeal to academics, intellectuals, and professionals. Pierce now heads the National Alliance, a neo-Nazi organization based in Arlington, Virginia, the original home of the American Nazi Party. He refuses to answer any calls from members of the news media, his secretary said. In the Turner Diaries, Pierce wrote that the American media was controlled by Jews and included reporters on his hate list for extermination along with blacks, Jews, Asians, Chicanos, intellectuals, government employees, anyone who was not white, or anyone who had married someone who was not white. Born in Atlanta, Georgia, Pierce received his master's and doctoral degrees at the University of Colorado. Records show he worked as an assistant professor of physics at the Corvallis campus for 3 years from September of 1962 to June of 1965. He earned a salary of about $8,000 for the nine-month school year, and in addition to doing basic research, directed a $35,000 U.S. Air Force science grant to do research in semiconductors. While at OSU, the then 32-year-old scientist and father of two joined the John Birch Society and supported the 1964 candidacy of Republican presidential nominee Barry Goldwater. He registered as a member of the Republican Party while living in Oregon. In a 1966 interview, Pierce said his interest in the American Nazi Party had been ignited by the large number of interracial marriages on the OSU faculty, which he said profoundly disturbed him. He eventually resigned his membership in the John Birch Society, he said. Pierce refused to tell university officials where he was going when he quit his job at OSU, but he revealed at a going-away party later that he was taking a research job at Pratt & Whitney Company in North Haven, Connecticut. American Nazi Party founder George Lincoln Rockwell later enticed Pierce to quit his $29,000 a year job at Pratt & Whitney to take the unpaid post as editor of the National Socialist World. Make of that what you will. Rockwell, the party commander and Pierce's mentor, was murdered by another follower in 1967, and the Nazi movement began to splinter. I would interject here, that was right as Garrison's investigation was drawing steam. The point here being, note the Rockwell connections, and note Pierce's strong background in the aerospace industry, because this is something we're going to see a little more of in our last couple of articles coming right up.
Okay. The next article, a very short one from the San Jose Mercury for October 3rd, 1985. It goes like this. It's actually part of an article. It says, Robert Merkey, M-E-R-K-I, a former Boeing company engineer, testified in Seattle that he helped set up a printing press for the neo-Nazi sect, The Order. And, of course, The Order is the one that's currently on trial for the various things, including Whidbey Island. That he helped set up a printing press for the neo-Nazi sect, The Order, to counterfeit money because he and his family were hurting for money. Members of the sect are on trial for racketeering. For a racketeering indictment. Again, notice Robert Merkey, a former Boeing company engineer. Interesting if he was to wonder if he was contacted through what obviously seems to be a fairly strong in-house network in the aeronautics field.
And one of the points to make about these people, too, is that, again, the popular media have made them out to be a bunch of, you know, disaffected rednecks. These people are very competent. They are highly intelligent. They are very, very well educated, and they're highly motivated.
And they can afford to quit $29,000 jobs for, quote, unpaid jobs.
Mm-hmm. But that William Pierce had a doctoral degree in physics, and these people are no slouches. Again, the right has always been dismissed as a bunch of idiots, and they're extremely intelligent. And above all, they know how to put up that kind of a facade, like they're just a bunch of dumb clucks. Anything but that. And unfortunately, that is not the case. Now, the thing that we're talking about here in connection with the aerospace connections to this, and again, the order currently standing trial up north is a branch of this Aryan Nations group, is that this group, the order, has been involved in some interesting activities. Reading now from the San Jose Mercury of September 18th, 1985, UPI out of Seattle headlined, "Member says neo-Nazi gang plotted government overthrow." Members of a tightly organized neo-Nazi gang spent $100,000 on a plan to develop laser weapons and a thought control system as part of a plot to take over the U.S. government, a founding member testified Tuesday, skipping down on the article. As part of a plan to rid the government of Jews and white traitors, unquote, the gang paid Spokane, Washington resident Dan Bauer, B-A-U-E-R, $100,000 to meet with high-tech scientists to develop weapons for the order, Parmeter said. That's Denver Daw Parmeter, an order member turned state witness. He said Bauer proposed that the group obtain false identification for unidentified scientists who could develop laser weapons and thought control weapons the order could use. The scientists would try to provide the group with these advanced type of weapons. So when you hear them trying to secure these types of weapons, don't dismiss it.
And apropos of that, the last article of the night, the headline is "Neo-Nazis Shared Gains from Crime Within Groups," U.S. says. It's an October 3rd, 1985 article from the New York Times, as a special to the New York Times by Wayne King, Dateline Houston. More than $750,000 in money said to have been stolen in bank and armored car robberies by the neo-Nazi group The Order was given to leaders of white supremacist organizations around the country to further their work, according to federal investigators. In a statement to agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation after his arrest in Georgia in March, Bruce Carroll Pierce, a leader and key member of the order, said the money was dispersed to Ku Klux Klan leaders in Texas, Michigan, and North Carolina, as well as to neo-Nazi leaders in Idaho and the District of Columbia. None of those said to have received the money have been charged with criminal acts in this case, and those who could be reached denied receiving any money. Further down in the article, according to Mr. Pierce's statement, an additional $100,000 was given to a member of the order, Dan Bauer, for an undertaking called, quote, the Reliance Project. Mr. Pierce said that Mr. Bauer told members of the order that two men who had been government scientists had developed a method of controlling individuals through electronic signals, and that a chemist who was willing to work for the order for $100,000 had developed a way to project a chemical imbalance in a target subject from a great distance by first analyzing a hair plucked from the subject's head.
So again, the point about all of this is when you hear about this sort of 21st century weaponry being sought after by these kinds of people, don't turn up your nose, because these people are, obviously, there are many of them are aerospace engineers. They are no fools, and they appear to be in a position to acquire these types of weapons. And again, in a nutshell, summing up the whole broadcast, what we've been looking at tonight is the development of, again, the Cuban Freikorps, we'll call it, a paramilitary milieu put together under government auspices initially to fight Castro. We then looked at its participation in the assassination of President Kennedy, and then we've drawn back in with the Aryan Nation, specifically looking at Reverend Gale and the Christian Defense League, their involvement with people allegedly planning the assassination of President Kennedy, and with the whole anti-Castro milieu that we've been speaking about. We then looked at Keith Gilbert, another member of the Aryan Nations, his reported connections to, well, his plotting against the life of Dr. King, possible connections to the assassination of Robert Kennedy, and he's right up there along with Richard Butler. We looked at Thane Caesar, the probable assassin of Robert Kennedy, his intersection with the Lockheed Burbank facility where Richard Butler works. We took a look at Ed Butler of New Orleans, Lee Harvey Oswald fame, floating what was eventually to be the cover story, the Manson family's own cover story for the Tate-LaBianca killings, eliminating a key Robert Kennedy witness, Manson's participation in the neo-Nazi networks, and we've taken a look at the aerospace connections and some Lockheed connections to not only the Aryan Nations, but Richard Nixon. And with all of these Aryan Nations programs, I realize it's a dizzying tangle, and obviously it's fairly taxing to do, as some of our ad hoc arrangements up here have made very clear. the way to go on this, I think, is to chart some of these things out, to make some diagrams and draw lines between all of these things that connect. I think that'll help a lot.
But no more diagrams tonight, folks. We're going to turn you over to the rest of the evening's programming, and which is going to be probably music, which will hopefully soothe the savage breast and give you time to run some of this stuff down in your mind. Thank you for joining us. Thank you also. Excuse me, I'm expiring on the spot. Thank you for bearing with us with a late start and a late finish tonight. We will be back with the regular programming Sunday, of course, with One Step Beyond. And, of course, we will have the fourth and final part of these Aryan Nation broadcasts next month. So until then, and until Sunday, of course, this is Nip Tuck for Dave Emery. Thank you for joining us for Radio Free America. And please continue listening to us here on KFJC.
Radio Free America.